Why are there so many songs about rainbows and about lovers and about dreamers? Maybe because many of us are lovers and dreamers, and maybe we have somehow let those parts of us just slip away. We often live in a world with so much stimulus and hectic schedules, and oh my gosh, we are busy. And yes, our children can live over-scheduled lives with so many things happening, and yes, even our pets are squeezed into our hustle and our bustle world too. Come on, let's go. How many things hit us and bombard us and interrupt our stargazing? How many tweets and burrs and bleeps crowd our minds and our hearts and our dreams? We are so pummeled by the world, we might not even see rainbows or the colors or the illusions. Imagine a time when you weren't bombarded and pummeled. Imagine a time when your lovers and dreams washed over you with such gentleness. We hear the song Rainbow Connection, and we remember the Muppets. How many people remember the Muppets? The video of this song is the puppet Kermit, the frog, sitting on a log, strumming his banjo and quietly singing. And somehow we believe it. Like a frog sitting on a log, playing a banjo, is the most natural thing in the world. This frog Kermit has his dreams and his disappointments. There is a verse that reads, "Who said that every wish would be heard and answered?" But yet, what's so amazing is that we keep our stargazing. We keep being drawn to the sailor's siren song. I bet the Muppets creator Jim Henson had dreams. He started puppeteering early in his life, and my guess that he had struggles and he had disappointments. My guess, he couldn't have fathomed what a journey his loves and his dreams would take him and his wonderful puppets on. Look what he gave us. Look at the millions and millions of kids and adults who are so touched by his life, by all his characters, especially by a frog named Kermit. Jim Henson died in 1990. That's almost 20 years ago. I invite you sometime to watch the video online of his memorial service. And there's a special part where the artists pay a wonderful tribute with a collection of his songs and his characters. After all these years, and especially today, I still get choked up by Kermit's song, and I started to think about other lovers and dreamers, some unlikely dreamers who we would have never imagined. We wouldn't have imagined what impact they have us even today. It reminds me of Moses. Now there's an unlikely dreamer, Holy Moses. Actually, I just like saying that, Holy Moses. Well, yes, he did become Holy Moses, but that's not where it really started. You might remember that Moses led the Israelites to freedom. The story in the book of Exodus from the Hebrew scriptures is one of my favorites. In short, Moses was one of the hoity-toities in Egypt when one day he got torqued off at seeing an Egyptian taskmaster beat a slave. Well, Moses sort of lost it, and he killed that taskmaster, and Moses heads for the hills. Now, far, far away from his past, phew, Moses is way away, he marries and he tends the flocks of his father-in-law. You might remember that one day Moses is walking along, he's just kind of bebopping along, he's tending to his flock, maybe he's daydreaming a little, and the angel of the Lord, a messenger, appeared to him in a burning bush. "I must turn and look at this great sight," Moses says. And after Moses turned and looked, God told Moses he must lead his people to the promised land. Well, my guess is that Moses wasn't listening to his iPod or texting or multitasking when he saw that bush, but he needed to turn and to look at it. He didn't run away and he didn't collapse in shock. He turned to see it. He was present in his life in order to see it. How many burning bushes have we had in our lives that we didn't turn and look at? In the midst of our tweets and burrs and bleeps, how many messengers or angels or burning bushes have each of us had that we didn't turn and look to, much less answer? How many frogs singing on a log did we miss hearing because we weren't paying attention? How many dreams are smothered or crushed because we filled up our lives with so much other stuff? Rabbi Lawrence Kushner writes about Moses, and he says, "The burning bush was not a miracle. It was a test. God wanted to find out if Moses could pay attention, if Moses could just pay attention to something for a few minutes. When Moses did, God spoke. The trick is to pay attention to what is going around you long enough to behold the miracle without falling asleep." To behold the miracle without falling asleep. Kushner finishes by saying, "There's a world right here within this one whenever we pay attention." Oh, those dreamers. Oh, those dreamers. We honor and we celebrate the life of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Again, an ordinary man, but with such love and such dreams. We see him as this huge man, like the monument to him down in D.C. But here's a thought. Martin Luther King was 5'6" tall. I'm 5'8", almost 5'9", but I always think of King as larger than life, as tall as that monument in D.C. But I had to wrap my mind around the fact that he is actually shorter than I am. In my mind, King always seems so big. We all seem to remember King's "I Have a Dream" speech. But I also want to tell you of a story when he was so human and wondered what on earth he was doing leading the Montgomery bus protest in Montgomery, Alabama. This was in 1956, the year that I was born. Although there were several incidents leading up to the bus boycott to end segregation, the bus boycott was sparked by an African-American woman named Rosa Parks. She refused to give up her seat to a white man, and that sparked the boycott. This huge nonviolent protest for the Negroes to not use the buses, it lasted for an entire year. The buses took the Negroes back and forth from their service jobs in the white communities. History tells us of King's courage and his commitment and his leadership for the nonviolent protest. But in his book, The Strength to Love, he talks about his fear. He talks about how one night, fraught with worry and concern for the safety of his family, he tried to think of a way out of this work that he was doing, but still not look like a coward. Late at night, he got up from his bed and he made a cup of coffee, and with his head in his hands at his kitchen table, he prayed. He prayed his family would be safe. He prayed for the courage to lead. He was so human, and he was scared, and he was raw. He told God that he was at his end. He had nothing, nothing left to give. He was exhausted, and he was frightened. And, "Oh God," King prayed, "please give me strength. Give me a sign, God," King prayed. And then King writes that he felt the presence of the divine like he had never, ever experienced it before. He heard an inner voice tell him to stand up for righteousness, stand up for justice. And he felt this calm wash all over him. King listened to the voice. He too turned to the burning bush. He kept gazing at the stars for his dreams of freedom and to hear the sailors sing their song. In the midst of such stress and such fear, he too kept clarity of mission and of purpose, of a dream that one day we would be judged not by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. Years later, in 1968, the night before King was assassinated, he preached that he had seen the promised land, that he had been to the mountain, and he looked over and he saw the promised land. Oh, how this man, King, had dreams, and oh, how he loved. I have loved. And I bet you have too. I have loved a boy and a girl in my life, and I have loved dogs and cats and horses and bunnies. I have loved so many. I love chilly, quiet winter nights by the fire, and I also love busy, bustling days at Disney. I love long, slow walks by the stream, and I love my wife, Barb, more than a heart can bear. I have dreams, and I bet you have too. I dream that no child will ever go to bed hungry again. I dream of every dog and cat having a safe and loving home. I put down my iPad and my phone, and I look at the stars, and I dream of justice and of love and of dignity for all. I've been thinking about past presidents lately. Fancy that, past presidents. So I remember President Obama's words and his dreams. President Obama said at his inaugural address, "Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law. If we are truly created equal, then surely the love we commit to one another must be equal as well." Can you imagine that? He said that at his inaugural address. What words! That the love that we commit to one another must be equal as well. How true is that today? Not just for people of all sexual orientations, but for every gender and creed and color. That is the song I want to hear the sailors singing. That is my somewhere over the rainbow, a life of compassion and equality, and a life free of fear. I bet you have dreams. I bet you started out in life, and before it all got so busy and full of everything, I bet you started with dreams. I bet you have dreams that are wistful and hopeful and loving. I bet that maybe, just maybe, in the noise of life, that you could be just still for just a moment. If you could be still, those dreams would come back to you again from a frog or a messenger in a burning bush or the voice of the divine, like with Martin Luther King. We sit here together in community. This is such a loving, loving community. There is such fabulous strength here, right here. Strength in we, strength in the dreams of we together. If I could play a banjo, I would invite us into dreaming together. The lovers and the dreamers and we. Amen.